Hey, it's a local spotlight show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I am your host again today. And with me today, I have an old friend that happened to come in the building. And I said, hey, we got to do a show. Clint Bigelow. And that rhymes, too.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yes, Clint. Clint grew up in Winchester, Illinois. All right.
Yep. I have a feeling you're going to tell me about how you won the Winchester tournament.
No, I'm not going to get into that. I know. But Winchester, and but now you and your dad got a company called Bigelow Builders.
That's correct. Yep.
Yeah. I hear the Bigelow Builders is pretty big.
Yeah, it's massive. All two of us. Yep. Huge company.
One of the reasons you're in town is that in your business, you take care of commercial buildings,
yeah.
Like banks.
Yeah, stuff. Banks. Preventive maintenance type of gigs, going in and being, you know, the buffer between what's wrong at your place, what's really wrong. You know, we want the bank personnel to be bank personnel, you know. Yeah. We don't want them trying to figure out whether the air conditioner is bad or is it a thermostat. So, you know, we kind of go in and they give us a call when something's wrong and can figure out what's going on.
They just got to make one call.
Yeah, make one call.
Call Clint.
Yeah.
Get over here, Clint.
Call Clint, that's right.
Something's not working right.
Yeah, and, you know, at some points it's probably, you know, very handy to make sure that you're not calling the wrong people in to tell, you know, for them to tell you it's, hey, this isn't what we do. You need to call this guy, and the you know, snowball effect. So we kind of mitigate that to where you call me, I'll come check it out. Like, oh, it's, you know, the fire alarm batteries are dead. You know, let's call the fire alarm guys, get them in here. It's, you know, oh, your doors aren't locking. Do we call a door guy? Do we call a locksmith? Uh-huh. You know, it's there's a lot of little nuances there that we can kind of help buffer.
And sometimes it's just simple, easy stuff.
Sometimes it's a change of light bulb.
Yeah.
You know, the toilet's not flushing. Okay, well, it needs new guts in the toilet. Okay.
Yeah. I used to do a lot of work for CNB.
Yeah.
And Jersey State, you know, and a few of the others. But I could remember they would always seem like they'd always call it 4 o'clock on Friday.
Yeah.
And I'd be going, hey.
Yep. You know, and I, there's so many times,
that,
right?
Does that happen to you?
And when you see the phone ring, you kind of think, what could be wrong? You know, it's going to be terrible, but you know, you just pick up the phone call because that's what the gig is, you know.
Yeah.
You pick it up, see what's wrong, you deal with it, you move on. You know, it's just part of life.
Yeah. Well, it's a job.
It is a job.
Yeah. So you grew up in Winchester,
yep.
And then right out of high school, did you go in the Marines?
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
So instantly from, you know, I think I was 17 when I signed up, made mom in tears sign the paper.
I bet.
You know, so she, you know, the dad was all for it. So went to the Marines, was stationed in California, San Diego. Beautiful place, by the way.
I know.
Especially sitting here
I've been there in
January. It's like, yeah. Man, I should go back there.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's a cool spot.
It's a whole nother world out
yeah.
there. You cross those Rocky Mountains and it's a different world. But from there going on, you know, I did 5 years, a couple tours, one in Iraq. That was my combat tour.
What was that like?
Man, that was
kind of spooky.
I don't even think I think you're young enough. You don't even know what's going on.
Yeah.
Right. And you just have, you're invincible at 18, 19 years old. You have no idea. Looking back on it is scary.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, I'm so happy I'm here.
Right.
But yeah, it was in Ramadi, which at the time in 2006-07 was just one of the deadliest places on earth for any American forces.
What was your typical day? What was a day at work there?
Oh, man. Well, you know, we were always, you know, you had a mission to where you were always looking for, you know, a high-level target, a terrorist of some sort or a cell that was embedded in a, you know, in Ramadi or in a town outside of it.
Yeah.
And I think Ramadi, you know, don't quote me on this, was about the size of St. Louis, you know, city-wise. And then you can imagine all the, you know, the outlying towns. So it was just on patrol going house to house to house and looking, you got your intel guys going with you in, trying to find out where these guys are. Because the locals don't want them there either, right? We're trying to help them out. So they're getting embedded into these local families, trying to, you know, hold them hostage, you know, so they don't give them up. And it was really scary for those local people trying to, you know, weigh their consequences. Do they help us? Well, they're probably going to, you know, they're going to pay the price after we leave. Or do they stay quiet and not help, but that's their future? It was a very interesting thing at 18, 19 year old to grasp.
Would you say, does any movies come to mind that are a real life depiction of what was going on in Iraq when you were there?
You know, American Sniper is a good one.
That's the one I didn't want to suggest. That's what they did.
It was a very, very real depiction of what the city looked like, how the Marines were moving on the street door to door. Navy SEALs on Overwatch, that happened a lot. It was very interesting to watch that movie and, you know, and then to see him deal with what he dealt with at home.
Yes.
You know, I think there was a scene, it's been a long year, where he was sitting in a tire shop, you know, and he's just, you know, he's just trying to figure out what's going on. I should be there. My friends are there. I should be back over there, but I got to deal with being at home now. So that, you know, that hits close to home for sure. I would say the most real, if you turn the stereo sound up in your living room, is probably Saving Private Ryan, to that constant combat when it's really, really in it. I think those, the sound effects and the emotions that you see in those guys is pretty real.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, those two, I'm sure there's some others I'm missing, but, you know, you get a pretty good grasp of what it's really like. There is a lot of downtime too, that a lot of those movies don't show, mm-hmm. where there's 10 or 12 days of nothing.
Yeah.
Where you're not having any action and you're just trying to survive day to day, going house to house, getting nothing, no return on your investment type of thing. And then all of a sudden it just clicks, you know? So it's some highs and lows, let me tell you.
Yeah. I could just, I think I could imagine you get a bunch of guys, young guys, 18, 19, 20 years old, and they're out there doing that, you know, and they're in enemy territory. That's got to be some wild times.
The testosterone levels. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what they measure on a scale, but they got to be through the roof, you know. And you're talking about, you got all kinds, especially in the Marines, you've got guys that are, you know, some avoiding jail. Right. You've got those guys where it's like going to jail or go to the Marine Corps type of thing. And then you've got some really intelligent that you think, what are you doing here? You know, and they just want to, you know, they just want to get in the fight like everybody else. And you got your captains, your quarterbacks, your wrestling jocks, your football stars.
Yeah.
You got a kind of a mix of everybody. And what I always found interesting about who was there was where they came from. Uh-huh. It was so many people from the Bible Belt. Texas had a ton of people. I mean, you could run into 5 out of 10 in the Marine Corps, and they're from Texas, which was crazy. But yeah, all up through the Bible Belt, your Southern
Why
boys.
Why was that? Why was
I think it's just the way you're raised. I don't know. I think you're just, you hear a crisis and you want to run, save it. You know, I don't know.
Kind of like American Sniper.
Yeah, probably a little bit like that. Yeah, I never put that together, but yeah.
So how many years were you in the Marines?
5.
5 years.
Yep.
You get out, then what are you doing?
Oh, man. Lost.
Lost.
I wanted to come back, and I thought, well, I'll go to school for engineering. I love anything engineering, the creation, the calculations, all that. And then I went to school for it, SIUE here, pretty local. For mechanical engineering, and I didn't make it very long. You know, it clicked. about a year in that this, I'm a hands-on guy.
Yeah. Well, I could see it'd be pretty boring.
I want to, okay, this is cool. I love the, how you're showing me to build the bridge, but I want to build the bridge. Yeah. You know, I want to be a part of that. And so I took a job as a helper on a pipe fitting crew, at a chemical plant in Missouri there. And I fell in love with it. Even as a low man on the totem pole, I just, you know, I saw people creating, oh, this is how that works. This is how that machine works. This is how stuff moves from A to B. And that, it really piqued my interest really fast. So I was hooked from day one on just that heavy industrial construction. And, you know, what's the biggest thing we can pick with a crane? Well, I don't know, but let's give it a whirl. And I'm all in. So yeah, I had a lot of fun doing that.
Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Clint Bigelow with me today, talking about his life and times, some experiences. He's in Bigelow Builders now, does a lot of construction services. Hey, and if you, just a reminder, our interviews, spotlight shows, you can catch up on YouTube and also on Listen on Demand on our website. So you can go to our website and press buttons and go straight to them. So anyway, at some point in time, you got into podcasting.
Yeah.
You know,
I'll give you the short of it. So, you know, coming out of pipe fitting, you just kind of general move up the ladder. You become a foreman and maybe a supervisor over a crew and then project manager type. But eventually you kind of, anytime you get into a management role, you're always selling, right? Because you always need the next thing to come down the pipeline for your guys. And
that's what you kind of a
and I just sales, got into sales that way, yeah. Right? So and then sales has its own career once you get into that. And I got into business development for construction services, commercial, heavy industrial, all really cool, going all over the country. You know, a flight every other day, going to some new city to look at some cement plant or chemical plant or where they make tires, you know, just got to see kind of the, I always like to say it's kind of like Mike Rowe, that show he had where he's getting to show you every little nuance of how everything's made. And I kind of got to see the backside of that. And with that became, you know, a lot of sales and, you know, and then you, if you're any sort of good, you start to want to perfect your craft and whatever you do. And so I started getting into a lot of personality development, how to read people, what they're, you know, try to figure out what they're thinking behind the scenes, tonalities, body language, how they present themselves, whether they're interested, not interested.
Okay. What are some key things you're reading people?
You know, me and you are doing it right now. We're matching each other's posture. So, you know, to me that tells that we're interested in having this conversation. You know, if you were to lean back and kick your feet up on the desk, I'd probably say I'm wasting my time here. Uh-huh. You know, those okay. kind of things.
I got you.
Tonality was always a big one for me. Just listening.
Tonality.
Yeah. The voice range of your voice. If you know, you're high pitched, you're probably inquisitive or nervous. Uh-huh. If you know, you got that, slow, steady, you're very confident. And you know what you're talking about, and you're looking for me to have that same confidence. So, you know, picking those little nuances out of who your customer is across the table, who you're dealing with.
You know, I kind of realize that stuff, you know, but never really. Yeah. Now that you're talking about it.
Yeah.
I go, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. You know? And I would say that, you know, when I got into personality traits, really studying those, where to put people in categories. Are you calculating type of person? Are you just a social butterfly? Are you the quiet but sensible? You know, and you start putting people in those corners, so to speak. That's where you start to really learn about different people and how they, okay, maybe they're interested. They're just not like you, right? And I can tell you, me and you, just knowing you, that, you know, we fit in the same dominant kind of personality. And so that's why I would, you know, quickly say that you understand those things, but you never thought about them because you didn't have to. Uh-huh. That's just your personality trait, right? So,
well, how'd you get in the podcast?
Yeah, so that led.
That was it?
I was in some training for Sandler Sales, which was a big, you know, and it may still be. It was kind of your foot in the door of formal training for sales. And you went. I went to classes a couple of times a week. A company that I worked for put me in these classes. And a part of that is you have to take personality exams, and you have to learn about yourself. And when you do that, it's kind of an eye-opener.
Yeah.
It really opens the curtains to something that you may not think about. And I met some people there. And if you know anything about personality, usually you fit in one of four quadrants. And we just all happened to hit it off, and we are all in four different categories. So we thought it'd be cool to make a podcast.
Yeah.
Having the same perspective of selling and dealing with people, but from four different personality traits. And so we called it Sales Throwdown. And I don't remember how many episodes we did. It was quite a lot. And we did a podcast out of Dallas-Fort Worth area. And yeah, that's how I got into that.
Yeah. And just talk about different methods of selling.
Yeah. We'd talk about what sometimes what we did on that day, what we ran into, how to navigate a problem, and sometimes not having an answer. And, you know, just discussing it over, well, how would you deal with that? Oh, well, I would deal with it this way. And it really helps see different perspectives of, okay, I'm dealing with a very calculating person that loves numbers and data. I'm not that guy, but I need to communicate with that guy. So, you know, there was a guy on our podcast that he was that guy. So it was nice to be able to talk to him, you know, and work that situation. Well, how do I communicate with that guy? Well, that's easy. You just do this, you know.
Hey, you know, we're all salesmen.
100%.
Basically, every single person
we're
selling something.
Yep.
I mean, trying to, you know, sell our wife on, hey, you know, I need that new truck.
That's right. That's right.
You know.
Yeah. If you want to see how good of a salesman you are, you take something you don't need and convince somebody that you need it. Right.
Right.
You quickly become one.
Yeah. So, what do you think are some attributes to sales that people need to know? What's the ABCs?
Oh, man.
One, two, threes.
Yeah. One is know your stuff. That's the first thing to me is know the product that you're selling. And it may be you, right? It may be that you're selling yourself to somebody, but you got to know what you're selling. You got to be confident in it. The second would be understand whether they need it or not, right? Because I know there's a lot of sales gimmicks out there that'll tell you just keep pushing and pushing and pushing and convince. I've never been that way. I like quality sales. If they want it and I have it, then I want you to buy it from me. And that, you know, that's really the key ingredients to making a sale. And the second time is learn to get a no quick. Get it out of the way. Don't let them lead you on down the road for months at a time, and the next thing you know, they just say, oh, I didn't want that anyway. You just wasted 6 months of your time, you know? And so you go for the no as fast as you can.
I'll be darned.
I think that's correct, because the moment you get them out of your radar, you move on to another target, so to speak. And that's always been crucial. A lot of people love to drag sales out. Well, I've got this guy, you know, in sales that would be called a pipeline. In my pipeline, I've got this and this and this going on. Okay, but how many of those are quality, right? If you're a sales manager and you're talking to your salespeople, that's what you're really looking for is quality of, you know, what do you have that can produce by the end of the month? And I think if you go for the no, you'll realize that maybe 8 out of 10 are not yeses. And you get rid of those and you focus on the two, put your time and effort on the ones that'll produce.
Well, you know, I've only been here at the radio station in this business for about a year and a half, I think. But the one thing that kind of intrigued me about it was the fact that, you know, in order for a radio station to survive, you have to sell advertising, right?
Yep.
And in years past, in the other 40 years of my life, I was buying advertising,
right?
And I felt good about selling advertising because if I can't make you money, then I'm no use to. But if I think I can, you know, I can't help everybody,
right?
You know, just in construction or whatever service.
Yep.
Some people you can't help, you know, just maybe they don't need the help.
That's right.
Right. But if you are in a situation where, okay, I need more people to know about my product or service, you know, they always say, you know, word of mouth is the best advertising. Well, that's what we do here.
Yeah.
Word of mouth.
That's your whole business.
Yeah. So that's why I kind of enjoy it. It's a challenge.
For sure it's a challenge. It's uncomfortable. I think that's probably what I learn the most out of any kind of sales is it's not fun to knock on somebody's door or cold call somebody and say, hey, you don't know me. This is what I'm looking to get. And it's uncomfortable for everybody. Being yourself is key, is really crucial for somebody to trust what you're saying. The worst thing you can do is sound like a salesman.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where that personality training comes in big time, is know who you're talking to, know what kind of style they like to talk. It's not being fake. It's still, you still have to be genuine in the way that you speak, but being yourself is very crucial. I would say that was probably a little bit easier for me than some, and to where I could just kind of, you know, make friends.
Yeah.
And then sell.
You've had some experiences where you had to step out of your comfort zone many times. So,
well, yeah, that's what I always have that to fall back onto is, you know, I always go back to like combat is my, well, it can't get any worse than that.
Yeah.
Right. So like, what are you going to do? Turn me down? Cause you don't want to buy whatever I'm selling. Okay.
At least you're not shooting at me.
Exactly. You haven't shot at me today. So, you got to have those fallbacks. You got to have your lows marked and understand that, hey, this is just another day at the office.
Hey, we're getting ready to wrap this up. I would like for you to give a pitch. Okay.
Sure.
Give your pitch for Bigelow Builders.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. So Bigelow Builders, it's a family owned, just me and my dad, which, some people love. Not a big manpower, not a big, not going to go out there and build you a brand new bank, but what we love to do is help you with any kind of problems that you're having internally, inside your facility, as far as services, plumbing, air conditioning, and we'll come in and kind of help you see what condition, what status you're in, whether you need to make upgrades or hey, everything's just fine the way it is. Let's just maintain it. On the other side of that, we do a lot of commercial renovations. We've gutted a few banks and built stuff inside the banks to help you get the flow of your office better, or however you just want to make a change. We're building a very expensive home right now. So we're kind of all over the map, but it's one of those where we like to fit the market of, well, nobody else wants to do this, and we always seem to kind of fit in there.
You can be kind of the liaison between the owner
Absolutely. And
getting the work done.
Honestly,
if you can do it, fine. But if you can't, you know the right people.
I know the right people. And that's where we really is our mainstay. It's being the liaison for people. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Clint, it's been so enjoyable to have you back.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't been together for what, like a couple years?
It's been a couple years.
Yeah, a couple years.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Glad to have you in studio.
Thanks for having me.
Best of luck and be careful out there.
All right.